says, you can definitely hear me now. Good evening. If you'd like to open up your Bibles to the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119, we're going to spend most of our time there this evening. In fact, if you'd like to put your ribbon there, we're going to be coming back to there throughout the entirety of the lesson. Psalm 119. Well, it's been a few minutes since almost a year since the last time I was able to come and speak with you guys. It's wonderful to be back among you. It's great to be back, back home. It's great to be here. I'd like to thank you guys for inviting me to come out and speak with you, especially since I know that there's so many capable men here to preach for you. It is an honor to come and preach to those who preached to me my entire life. I hope in some way the lesson tonight is edifying to you. You know, in our New Testament, something that we reference every single time we come together, during the invitation usually, is that we have a need as Christians to remain faithful to God. We talk about that all the time, and we turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, and we read, "Be faithful unto death, and I will hand you a crown of life." And we look at verses such as Matthew 10 and verse 22, where he tells us to endure to the end. Or in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, where we're told to hold fast without wavering. It's a common theme in the New Testament that disciples of Christ are to stand firm, to hold fast. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the armor of God so that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that when the devil tempts us, when he throws his fiery darts at us, we will have a shield. We will have defense against that. He tells us how to stand. Well, here in Psalm 119, there's several lessons throughout this psalm, and we're not going to cover, even though I was joking with Shannon earlier, we're not going to cover the entire psalm this evening. We are going to go through verses 57 through 64. In this section, the psalmist says, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste, and I did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgment. I am a companion to all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes." I believe the psalmist here is talking about clinging to God. How he might cling to God. And gives instructions on how we might remain faithful. Or how we might endure to the end. Or how we might stand firm without wavering. He gives us these instructions. First thing I want to notice that the language that the psalmist uses here sounds an awful lot like the Christian. Now, we know that the psalmist was under the old law. But it sounds an awful lot like just a child of God. He says, "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said I would keep your words. I have entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word." Isn't that exactly what we did when we came to God? When we were baptized into Christ? When we were buried with Him in the likeness of His death? We rose in the likeness of His resurrection? Isn't this exactly what we did? We entreated the favor of God. We said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One who is not worthy of your righteousness. Is not worthy of your grace," but we called on His name, we called on His mercy. And we asked Him to be merciful to us, that He would show favor for us, even though we did not deserve that. This is exactly what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, "Be merciful to me. Show mercy, because I do not deserve it. I do not deserve forgiveness. So be merciful to me." So this is exactly like what I would consider a Christian's attitude to be. Later on, he says, "I am a companion to all who fear you. I am a companion to all who fear you, to all who keep your precepts." we have fellowship with all who fear God. That is, all who obey God in His righteousness, using His standards. If they obey God, we are a companion to them. This is a model of a Christian. I wanted to focus on what he says in verse 59 and 60 for our lesson this evening, primarily. So in the context of this psalm, what it looks like he's talking about here is drawing near to God, clinging to God, remaining faithful to the Creator. But how does he say he's going to do that? He tells God how he's going to do that. First of all, he says in verse 59, I thought about my ways. That's an important point there. I thought about my ways. In other words, he says, I looked at myself. I looked inwardly. You know, nobody knows what's in your heart. Nobody here knows what's in your heart. Only God and you. So in order to be pleasing to God, in order to be to consider ourselves accountable and to walk in a good conscience towards God, we need to look at ourselves. I think this is interesting language that we could see also in Luke chapter 15. You know, in Luke chapter 15, there's three parables there. There's the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, he comes to his father one day and he says, Father, divide to me my inheritance. What would be my half of the inheritance? And so his father did. He divided, he gave him his inheritance. He leaves and he goes to a foreign land where he blows his money on riotous living, partying. He spent it on, we call it the prodigal son. He's gone away from the home. And he has spent his money and he becomes low. His money has ran out. His friends are gone. His lifestyle is gone. And he becomes so low that this little Jewish boy is eating the food for pigs, or desiring to eat the food of pigs. I think sometimes, just to emphasize the point there a little bit, we misunderstand what kind of significance that is for a Jew who would consider swine to be unclean. They can't even walk amongst them. And he's desiring to eat their food. Now, I've seen pigs. I've fed pigs. I've seen what pigs eat. I have never been so hungry that I desired the food of pigs. This kid was so hungry. This young man was so hungry. He desired the food of pigs. And this is showing how wretched the world is. That's what the analogy here is. Showing how bad it is to be out in the world instead of safely with God. And in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, it says, Then he came to himself. And he said to himself, In my Father's house, there is food and to spare. Even his hired servants have food. And here I am. I'm going to move that down a little bit. And here I am, wanting to eat the food of pigs. I will go to my father and I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. We see the repentance going on there. But he says there, he came to himself. He came to himself. We might say he came to his senses. His mind was opened. He looked inwardly. He saw his condition. And he made a change, which is coming up in a minute. He came to himself. We need to look inwardly. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians rather, chapter 13. 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth, obviously, and he says in verse 5, Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, indeed, you are disqualified. Examine yourself. Brethren, test yourself. You know, if we go through life and we are comfortable how we are, And we just continue to wallow with the pigs, continue to be in that wretched state of life, and we're comfortable with that. We need to change our heart. And we need to look to God. We need to look inwardly, and we need to compare ourselves with God. That's the next thing that the psalmist here says. The psalmist, the next thing that he says is, he says, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimony. So not, it wasn't enough just to think inwardly. But he had to have something to compare that to. Once again in 2 Corinthians, this time in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 12. Paul says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. And in other words, it's not wise to compare myself with the things that are down here. It is not wise to compare myself with you, or you to compare yourself with me. We have a higher standard. The psalmist says, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimony. To God's testimony. There's a measure there, a level, a standard that we have to meet. And it is not found in this world. You know, I look, as many flaws that I have, I look pretty good when you compare me to the people in this world. You know, I obey the law. I do the things that are expected of me. I don't harm people. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not hungry for money. Not greedy. That makes up a lot of what this world is. I don't do drugs. I don't support the things that this world supports. And that's good. But my standard isn't the people I see in this world. I don't have a checkbox of things to say I stand against in this world. All right, Craig's not an alcoholic. Check. I don't support abortion. Definitely check. How about, do I love my neighbor? Does my neighbor see Christ in me? Am I evangelizing? Am I talking to my friends about God? Am I glorifying God in my life? The standard for our living is not here. It's up there. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is questioned at a very inopportune time. Jesus is questioned by the elders, or by the scribes and the Pharisees, concerning the tradition of the elders and about his apostles not washing their hands before they ate. Because that's what's important in this life. It's good to wash your hands before you eat. Matter of fact, all of you should wash your hands before you eat. But that's not what's important, and that's not what Christ was here to do. So he tells them that they draw near to them. Truly did Isaiah say about you, you draw near to me with your lips, but your heart is so far from me. His disciples questioned him. He said, did you not know? Do you not know that they were offended by these things? Jesus' answer was, leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall in the ditch. Brethren, if we walk around this world following after men, following after a standard of man, we're going to end up in the ditch. We need to follow after a standard of God. The psalmist says, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimony. Later on in this same psalm, in Psalm 119, and verse 105, psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, some of you guys might know that my parents have a few kids. There's a few kids in their house. And there's grandkids and such. And when us older kids come to visit, We don't get nice, comfortable places like bedrooms usually anymore. Well, I've gotten into the habit of stealing the twins' bed, but that's because I'm mean and old now, and I can do that. I like saying that I'm old in this present company. Sorry. Anyways, when you sleep in the living room, though, you turn all the lights out. I turn all the lights out when I sleep. You get up in the middle of the night. You have to get a drink. You have to use the restroom. You know what happens? Every single time I stub my toe on something. Every time. They used to have this coffee table in their living room. It's gone now. If they didn't get rid of it, I was going to. I'd crack my shin on that every time. So you know what I got into doing? I'd bring a light with me, flashlight, so I didn't crack my toe, because that hurts a lot. But this world is like my parents' house. It's cluttered. It has a coffee table in the middle of the floor where it doesn't belong. There's toys all over the place because they have lots of kids. There's a lot of childish people in this world. And they leave their dirty laundry and their nasty business all over the place. And if we don't hold out a light, we're going to step in a lot of dirty clothes. We're going to step on a lot of Legos. We're going to step and hit our shin on coffee tables that are very poorly placed in a living room. It's not there anymore. Thank you, Mom. But if we don't hold out that light, if we just rely on our own understanding, we don't look after God, and we don't use His light as the light to our path, then we are going to stumble. How do we expect to do this on our own? Examine yourself. Have you been using the lamp of the Lord, the Word of God, to light your path? He goes on. He says, I thought about my ways. I turned my feet to your testimony. Then he says, I did not delay. I did not delay. You know, in the New Testament, as we're looking through, mainly in the book of Acts, there seems to be a level of urgency to obeying God's word, to following after God. In Acts chapter 16, verse 33, Acts 16, and verse 33. This is the Philippian jailer. And after he comes in and he sees the prisoners are still there, he does not kill himself. He asks, what shall I do to be saved? They answer him. In verse 32, then they spoke the words of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Immediately, he and all of his family were baptized. There's a few key words there. Took him that same hour of the night, and immediately they were baptized. There's a sense of urgency there. Why do you think there is a sense of urgency? Why do you think on the day of Pentecost, they didn't wait till next Sunday when it's baptism Sunday for the 3,000 souls to be saved? When they gladly received the Word of God, they were immediately baptized. Why do you think that was? Well, there's a sense of urgency because we don't know what tomorrow is. We don't know how things are going to end up. James, in the book of James, in chapter 4, we're told that our life is a vapor. It is here one day and it is gone the next. You know, I drink tea. I like tea. And I put a tea kettle on the, or teapot or tea kettle on the stove. And when it's done, it starts whistling and there's these vapors, steam, that rises up out of that. How far up do you think those go? They don't. They're maybe a foot off the stove, and they're evaporated. They're gone. That's the imagery that that James is getting out here. Our life is a vapor. It's here literally one moment, and it is gone the next. We don't know when our moment is gone. Paul says, in 2 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians, this time in chapter 6. Chapter 6 and in verse 1, it says, "We then, as workers together with Him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have heard you,'" or "I have helped you," rather. "Behold," notice, "now is the acceptable time." Behold, take notice. Now is the day of salvation. Right now is the acceptable time. Right now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow, it may be here. It may not be. Or the Lord could come now. I'm a little long-winded. He might come before I'm done talking. Or I could be short-winded and He could come before I'm done talking. We do not know when the Lord will come. He will come as a thief in the night, as Jesus says in Matthew 24. We do not know when He will come. So Paul says, right now is the acceptable time. So the psalmist also says, "I made haste. I did not delay." Even if we have obeyed the gospel and we find ourselves in error, we need to realize there's a certain sense of urgency to obey the words of God. If we've looked at ourselves and we've seen that it does not align with the testimony of God, then we need to make haste. Then the final thing he says here, "I did not delay to keep your commandments." That seems like a very simple point. Almost seems like I've made it a couple times. To keep the commandments of God. "I made haste and I did not delay. I turned to you and I ran to keep your commandments." We know what comes. We've read the scriptures where most of us are students of the Bible. We understand what comes at the last day. And if we understand what comes at the last day, then we understand the reason to make haste to keep the commandments of God. We understand why it's important to obey Him right now. To obey Him today. James chapter 1 tells us, "The one who looks into the law, that perfect law of liberty, and walks away, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word and a doer of the work, will be blessed in all that he does." Be doers of the word. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." In order to enter into the kingdom of God, in order to be saved, in order to rise in glory instead of being thrown down in shame, we need to look at ourselves. Look inwardly. We need to compare ourselves with the testimony of God. And then we need to make haste to keep His commandments. Do you want to stand firm? Do you want to stand strong? Do you want to be able to guard against the wiles of the devil? Do you want to be able to endure? Endurance in this life is not easy. It's a lot harder if we fail to look to God. It's a lot harder if we fail to look into His perfect law of liberty and to be keepers of the word and doers of the work. Mike is going to lead us in a song in just a moment. "Soul, a Savior Thou Art Needing," number 301. And as we're singing this song, think about yourself. Look inwardly. Ask yourself, am I in fellowship with God? Am I keeping the commands of the Father? Am I doing the will of the Father? Compare yourself to His Word. To what He has told us. And if you are found short, you are found wanting, if you are found failing the words of God, then make haste. Do not delay to keep the commandments of God. If we can help you in any way this evening, why don't you come while together we stand and while we sing.